Omaha Public Radio presents a program from the University of Nebraska at Omaha on Noon Forum. We'll hear a community conversation with three of the five candidates vying for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha in the primary election this Tuesday, April 4th. The candidates taking part will be Omaha Mayor Jean Stothert, seeking her second term in office, Heath Mello, a member of the Nebraska Unicameral, and Ian McHale, founder of the Infinite Eight Institute. Two candidates, Christopher Gary and Taylor Royal, due to previous commitments, were unable to participate. This program, co-sponsored by One Omaha, was recorded on Tuesday evening, March 14, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the candidates and do not necessarily represent those of the University of Nebraska at Omaha, One Omaha, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to begin the program with our first question is our moderator, Omaha Public Radio News Director Cheryl Lee.
The first question is, if you are elected mayor, or in Mayor Stothert's case, re-elected mayor, to what degree will you empower neighborhood leaders, and what's the next step to ensure community leaders have a seat at the table with city government, specifically during phases of the development process and the implementation of the Omaha Municipal Land Bank? And we'll start with Heath Mello.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Mike, and One Omaha for bringing us all together tonight to have hopefully a very hearty conversation about neighborhoods and the future of Omaha. You know, as it was mentioned as part of my bio, I am very humbled and lucky to spend the last almost close to a decade working with South Omaha neighborhoods directly, both just as a volunteer as well as a state senator. And spending time with the South Omaha Neighborhood Alliance, really we try to take a very grassroots approach in regards to looking to engage people and to solve problems. And to some extent, I took that approach back down with me to the Nebraska legislature, working with neighborhood associations to reform and pass laws to make sure the city of Omaha communicated more effectively with neighborhoods in regards to both redevelopment projects as well as zoning ordinance changes. And I think that kind of experience, for me at least, showed that with the right kind of leadership, with the right kind of relationship building, no matter what public official at what level should be engaging with neighborhoods on a very person-to-person, human-to-human level. Just this afternoon, we unveiled a Safer, Stronger Neighborhoods blueprint for some policy ideas that I feel very strongly about that can really help build and strengthen that relationship between neighborhoods and the city moving forward. And just two of those initiatives that we talked about this afternoon was the initial creation of requiring essentially the city over the next 4 years to engage in participatory budgeting, of setting aside money every single year in the city budget to provide to each city council district to have neighborhoods help determine where that money goes instead of the mayor and or the city council. That's a real proven way that other major cities around the country have really focused on engaging neighborhoods and more so not just planning projects, but more so determining how they want to actually spend taxpayer money to improve where they live, work, and play. Another initiative that we announced today as part of our blueprint was ensuring that neighborhood associations have a seat at the table on all major boards and commissions. It's something that in crafting the Omaha Land Bank legislation down at the state level, it was something that we heard pretty consistently. There was a concern that the land bank would get developed and neighborhoods would not be able to have their voices being heard. And as I unveil today, not only will we make sure that neighborhood associations have a seat at the table with all major boards and commissions at the city level, but I'll make sure, just in light of my experience working with the South Omaha Neighborhood Alliance, to making sure all neighborhood alliances are automatically appointed at least as a non-voting member on the Omaha Municipal Land Bank Board. That's the least the city can do to make sure that those neighborhood association alliances are really at the forefront of working with the board of directors, working with the city planning department, working with the mayor's office, moving forward to ensure that neighborhood associations not only have a seat in the process, but they're at the beginning part of that process.
Ian McHale.
So when I first discovered that the land bank was moving forward, that they were going to potentially get rid of about 7,000 properties in North and South Omaha. When I discovered these plans and the fact that a lot of these plans did not necessarily, to the degree that many in the community, North South Omaha would like, it did not include many of the residents. They did not have an opportunity to have a say-so. They did not have an opportunity to be able to gather their funds, whatever investment that they could ever gather together. They didn't have that opportunity. And so what I would do is I would put a moratorium on the land bank, And what I would do is I would integrate that into the master plan essentially being revised. And the reason why we revised the master plan is because, let me explain what the master plan is. The master plan essentially delegates land use and community vision. And our master plan in this city has not been revised in 30 years, although by law it is required that it is revised every 10 years. And so, you know, what was going on in 1990, I mean, New Kids on the Block was popular back then, right? And so we need to upgrade our master plan. And there's nothing that can go on in the city. If we're going to bring everyone to the table, nothing will stick unless it's in the master plan. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bring everyone throughout the city together. We're going to bring all the organizations that want to wear different hats and let them get involved. And we're going to bring everyone to the table. And we're going to go over the master plan. And we're going to determine what the city's future should look like in the next 50 years. And that's how we would integrate people. But also at the same time, from a housing standpoint, I think it's smart to utilize a social impact bond for housing. It's been done in California. It would put a lot of minority contractors to work. Also at the same time, it would encourage the redevelopment of the existing homes in the community to encourage people who already live there to stay there. But also at the same time, encouraging other people to come in and to be integrated as well. And so I think it's very important to uphold the existing structure and to uphold the existing essence and the culture that exists in the North and South Omaha community, while also at the same time being open for innovation and moving the entire city forward.
Mayor Stother?
All right, thank you very much. And thank you all for being here tonight. Ever since I was on the city council and now as mayor, I have held neighborhood associations in a very high regard. I feel like it is very critical as part of the organization, and the neighborhood leaders are critical as far as community stewards. Strong neighborhoods are the building blocks of the city, and strong neighborhoods mean a strong city. Our neighborhood networks that we have are one of the reasons that NUSA, or the conference that Norita just talked about earlier, chose Omaha for their annual convention, which will be in May. It's because of the things that we have here and what we're doing here in Omaha. As you may know, I provided $50,000 to One Omaha of community service dollars for their startup, and then we have continued that $50,000 every year for the last 3 years, that level of funding. Regarding development, we are now creating in our planning department a new division, and it's called the Neighborhood Planning Division. And that division is going, their job will be to coordinate citywide planning initiatives that have neighborhood impacts. They will also work with neighborhood advisory groups and associations and other community partners, and they will help develop small area plans and planning studies. And they will also coordinate and track plan implementation. And they will make recommendations for infrastructure needs in the neighborhood. So we found that there was a need in the planning department, and we are working right now on creating that new division. Also, we will hire in my office a new deputy chief of staff position. This third deputy chief of staff position was approved by the city council with the budget last summer. And we're going to call that position for development services. That position will focus on development services for all types. And that person will also be that direct link during the development process. The advocate for the developer, the one person that in my office that will help a developer get through all of the different stages of a big development, from the law department to the planning department to the public works department. And that person will be a planner. So we are working right now with the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce to help develop, working with some stakeholders to help develop what that job description will really mean. And we're going to go forward and hire that position by this spring. We will also continue to award our neighborhood grants every year. Every year we award, through my office, $80,000 worth of neighborhood grants since I've been mayor. So far, we've already awarded about $240,000 worth of neighborhood grants for projects that improve neighborhood safety, recreation, and also community building. And those are things that are very important to all of us, and we will continue doing that. Also, I did appoint the Omaha Municipal Land Bank. That process took quite a while because we had to have somebody from every city council district, all with different backgrounds. So we took a very long time to do that to make sure we had the right people. but the land bank is up and running now. And the new land bank executive director, Marty Barnhart, I invited him to each one of my 7 town hall meetings that I had this past fall. I do 7 town hall meetings every fall, and I wanted him to all of our town hall meetings just so that he could connect with everyone and let him know what he's doing in everybody's neighborhoods.
In the 2015 Community Health Needs Assessment, 40.3% of survey respondents in Northeast Omaha and 35.8% of survey respondents in Southeast Omaha feel slightly or not at all safe in their neighborhoods. Beyond maintaining the excellent policing we have now, which investments, policies, and community building initiatives would you implement to make sure every Omaha resident feels safe in their neighborhood? Ian McHale?
Well, for one, I can understand and I can empathize, having grown up in North Omaha, having witnessed drive-bys, having had friends and relatives that have been shot. Nico Jenkins, who was released early and prematurely, actually shot my cousin 5 times. Thank God she lived. But also when you have statistics such as Omaha for the last 2 years being number 1 and number 2 going back and forth with St. Louis per capita for black homicides, when you have scenarios such as Omaha or Nebraska being called the most dangerous place to be black in America, according to the International Business Times and the Huffington Post, you'll have scenarios such as what's been going on with the violence. But what we are proposing, we're proposing to turn policing around. We're proposing to have police officers patrol their own neighborhoods in order to be able to provide more of a community. We're going to revitalize the Neighborhood Watch in order to assist those police officers so that there is not only a top-down relationship with the police force, but also bottom-up as well. We're also going to implement the arts. We have a lot of young people that rap. We're going to teach them how to take those rap skills and utilize them for creative writing, also for positive rap. We're also going to implement after-school programs, apprenticeship programs to give them jobs while they're still in school, and also alternate interventions such as the Cradle to the Grave program, which has been implemented in Philadelphia. 10,000 people have gone through the program. Only 10 have actually come back as homicide victims or victims of a gunshot wound. We're going to create a ballistics center in the middle of North Omaha that's going to replace essentially Creighton University that's now no longer going to be there. And if you get shot in North Omaha, that's a long ride that you're going to have to take all the way to UNMC, and don't be caught in rush hour. And so we're going to also implement in the prison system a meditation called Vipassana. It was implemented in the southern prison system in the United States. And essentially you have prisoners that go 10 days meditating and they don't speak to each other. They don't speak to anyone else. And there's been a tremendous amount of improvement among those prisoners. And we're going to implement that in our prison system as well.
Mayor Stothert?
Well, I think we need to continue to focus on the fundamentals. Continue our efforts and investment in public safety, and we have made great strides. In fact, in 2016, we are at the lowest number of homicides in 13 years, the lowest incidence of shootings in a decade. Community policing, neighborhood outreach and support, code enforcement for rundown or abandoned properties. We need to support educational opportunities and initiatives, job training and workforce development, business development, youth services and truancy prevention and mentoring, which the city is partners with and invest in, and services for our homeless. Even things like sufficient lighting all create safe and community-oriented living environment. This is an area where public-private partnerships also can be very, very successful, and we've had a good foundation to build on. In fact, we credit a lot of our current partners in the city for our decrease in violent crime in our neighborhoods. For example, Omaha 360, the Empowerment Network, the South Omaha Violence Intervention and Prevention, the pastors that we meet with routinely within my office, because who knows better about their community than the pastors with their congregation. Step Up Summer Job Program, which the city in the last 3 years has invested $500,000 in, what I have promised to increase to $1 million in 2018, that keeps kids off the streets in the summer and offers them employment that sometimes can lead to full-time jobs. Another is the PACE program, the PACE Athletics for Community Engagement, which is a program created by the Omaha police officers to coach youth in sports and gets the kids involved in positive activities. And the city now provides funding for PACE so it can grow and reach out with to more kids.
Heath Mello.
Great question that no doubt we hear about every single day on the campaign trail. And as I say every single day, we've got to take a more holistic view on this issue as a city. And as I say, you simply can't treat the symptom and expect to actually cure the disease when it comes to crime. And so in some respect, yes, we do need to look to increase capacity within our public safety departments, look to take an independent perspective in regards to our staffing and our equipment analysis, utilizing 21st century policing techniques like body-worn cameras by the end of 2018, looking to create and establish a voluntary video surveillance registry to help local property owners assist public safety officers in locating footage when it involves crime. But we need to go a step further of trying to reduce crime at its root causes. And I think everyone in this room knows that there are four issues that generally impact every single neighborhood in this city when it comes to crime. That's a lack of living wage jobs in every zip code, a lack of access to behavioral health care, a lack of access to reliable transportation, and a lack of access to quality affordable housing. We've unveiled a number of policy proposals over the course of the campaign that we believe can really start to address some of these issues. And one of them is announcing an affordable housing initiative, the Omaha 2x6 initiative, that allows the development of a public-private partnership through the city to try to establish 2,000 affordable housing units across the city, and I remind you, across the city, within the next 6 years. Another initiative in regards to creating a child saving account pilot project to assist low-income children and targeted schools and OPS the ability to start to develop asset building skills and work with their families to start preparing them for further education in their neighborhood or whatever they choose to do moving forward. Something that was mentioned earlier in my bio, I just spent the last 18 months at the state level working on creating and establishing the Nebraska Intergenerational Poverty Commission, looking and evaluating ways that we as a state have to start to embrace a two-generation data-driven approach to address intergenerational poverty. And as I've said before, that's something that impacts Omaha more than any other city in the entire state. And that's why we would create a local intergenerational poverty commission to tackle this issue on a local level that we know is so sorely needed. The last component is something that I'm spending time on criminal justice reform over the last 3.5 years at the legislative level. What I've come to find out, there are two issues that we know impact recidivism more than anything else. That's a lack of living wage jobs and a lack of quality housing. And that's why, as mayor, I would establish the Mayor's Second Chance Employer Council to work as the mayor, to work with businesses to ensure that our ex-offenders have the correct pathways to go find jobs with different employers around this city. We were able to pass a ban-the-box piece of legislation at the state level to impact public employers. But what we've come to find out is that ex-offenders are still having a challenge once they leave the criminal justice system to find gainful employment in the private sector, which it doesn't cost any taxpayer money to simply have a mayor to be able to bring employers around the table to talk through human resource policies and find ways to get commitments, to get real commitments from our employers in the city to hire ex-offenders once they leave our criminal justice system. Those are just four initiatives that we've been talking about on the campaign trail that I believe can help us start to address crime at its root cause across the city of Omaha.
Cities that invest in more walkable, bikeable, and connected communities have demonstrated a return via improved health outcomes, economic growth, and talent retention. How would you make Omaha more walkable, bikeable, and connected with easy access to public transit? Mayor Stothert.
My vision for the future of transportation in the city of Omaha and for the metro is to provide reliable, safe, efficient, and well-managed transportation system that moves residents and employees and employers and commerce across the city in a wide variety of transit modes. We have to look at every way that people commute, and that includes pedestrians, bicycles, automobiles, commercial trucking, public transportation, and related modes such as buses and train travel. We passed a complete streets policy in 2015, and it was recognized recently as one of the top five complete streets policies in the country, and that's affiliated with the Smart Growth America plan. All new developments now in Omaha, all new projects must comply with the complete streets policy, which requires safe, accessible streets for all users, including pedestrians, bicycles, cars, and transit. We recently expanded our partnership with Heartland B-Cycle, and we have become their public partner. We have purchased the bicycles, and we have purchased all of the stations, and because of that, we are eligible for federal grants. And with the federal grant that we are getting, we're going to be able to double our number of bikes and double our number of stations around the metro area. We are also actively right now supporting the metro, the BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit, that Metro Transit is working on. We received a $30 million project. We received a $15 million grant several years ago from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and we're assisting Metro at raising the other $15 million. That will be an articulated rubber-wheeled bus that will go from 10th Street downtown all the way to the West Roads, went on an east-west route, but you have to look at that as a spine to a brand new public bus system in Omaha, because there will be multiple routes from the north and multiple routes from the south that will tie into that. So you have to look at that as a spine. And Omaha right now also is growing to the point where a modern streetcar system does make sense. It will further help develop our urban core, reduce our traffic congestion, and connect Omaha to its most popular events. We used to have about 21,000 more jobs downtown Omaha. We can get those jobs back downtown Omaha again, but we can't park that many people. When those jobs were lost, a lot of those jobs were lost in North and South Omaha too. And so if we have a good public transportation system that can move people from their homes to their jobs and back to their home again, it's about creating more and more jobs. And there's direct benefits to employment, housing, entertainment, and commerce. And it's time to advance the concept of a modern streetcar and get the public input that we need and approval. We've done a financial analysis of it, and we know that we can pay for it without a tax increase. So what I've done is I've appointed an advisory group that's going to review all of the work that's been done on the modern streetcar so far and make recommendations of how to pay for it and if we should move forward. In our six-year capital improvement plan, that is our infrastructure fund, and we have over $320 million to be spent in the next 6 years for transportation.
Heath Mello.
Well, thank you. This is a great question, and it's something that is at the forefront of a lot of people's minds across this city. And unfortunately, part of the challenge we face is twofold. One, there are some in the city who've said Omaha will always be a commuter city. That's a mindset that I believe over the next 30 years we're going to have to make a determination of whether or not we want to change as a city. The second component is a lot of our trails are more pedestrian-focused and more recreational-focused instead of commuting-focused. And because of that, they normally follow creeks, and those go north to south, not so much east to west. And those two mindsets or those two challenges are something we're going to have to overcome as a city when we talk about our modern transportation system. Something Ian has mentioned both last night and tonight is the city's master plan. And I fully believe that we're going to have to update and modernize the city's master plan, particularly when it comes to a modern transportation system. And I've been very bullish, that I'm convinced the future growth of this city is based around a modern transportation system built around light rail. Not a streetcar, light rail, that's able to get people around this city from north, south, east, west, diagonally, and everywhere in between. We're then able to overlay our existing busing system as well as ride sharing and expand our bicycle lanes and trails to have a fully integrated transportation system that allows anyone in the city of Omaha, no matter where they live, to not have to own a car to be able to get around Omaha. That's not going to happen over the course of 4 years, and it's not going to happen over the course of 8 years. That's a 30-year vision for this city, but it's going to take the right kind of leadership, moving the right kind of engagement to make that a reality. And that's why we proposed, back when I announced my campaign, the creation of an Omaha Infrastructure Bank. We established this last year at the state legislative level, working with then-Governor Ricketts and State Senator Jim Smith, a $450 million state infrastructure bank to focus on key infrastructure projects around Nebraska. I'm convinced in talking with both the private sector and the philanthropic community in Omaha, we can take a similar approach here in Omaha by using our public dollars, both local, state, and federal, and merging them and combining them with our private and philanthropic dollars to focus not just on maintaining our existing infrastructure, but truly trying to build this modern transportation system of the future.
Ian McHale.
So we're going to implement the Green Plan. And the Green Plan is an acronym that stands for Green Zones, Light Rail, and not light rail just around Omaha, but light rail all the way to Lincoln. Also, electric energy and net zero buildings. And so through our green zones, we're going to pilot more biking lanes. We're also going to have LEED buildings, which is a high green certification. We're going to have living buildings and living communities, which is the highest green certification in the world. We're also going to have organic grocery stores, as well as juice bars and other attractions in order to essentially have people gather around the whole style of living in a truly green community. With the light rail, we actually have the numbers. It's going to cost only $75 million in order to create a light rail system from downtown all the way to the Front Gates Memorial Stadium. And if you think about that, compared to the electric streetcar scenario where it's costing at least $150 million, right out the gate, as soon as we walk into City Hall, we saved you guys $75 million. And at the same time, you guys can go back and forth to Lincoln. Think about all the talent that a lot of local employers would be able to pull from students from UNL. We know that that drive back and forth to Lincoln is one that is very treacherous at certain times of the year. And so we'd be able to also connect ourselves to Gretna and Nebraska Crossing and help out a lot of other small cities along the way. On top of that, with electric, we're going to, within 4 years, we're going to transition our gas-powered fleet of 5,000 municipal vehicles into electric. We're also going to take about $40 million annually worth of garbage that's just sitting in our landfills, and we're going to capture the gas that comes off of those landfills, and we're going to create electricity with that as well. And so also we're going to have wind turbines on city property. And with that, we're going to save taxpayers annually $60 million that can go towards our roads, that can go towards our schools, that can also make it so that our meters downtown aren't so expensive and they aren't everywhere, and making it so that's actually deterring a lot of poor people from coming downtown and spending money. And also we're going to fix that stench in Midtown.
What is your vision for Omaha in 5 years? What should remain the same, and what major things need to be changed to move forward? Heath Mello?
Well, I would say my vision for Omaha over the next 5 years, we would see a more welcoming, more connected, and more innovative Omaha. And I think there's one issue that really has been troubling me more than anything else over the campaign, and it's something that I try to mention every single day, which is Omaha is a very economically and racially segregated city. And the fact is this, we have to start acknowledging that on a day-in-day-out basis as a city for us to truly try to build the Omaha of the future. And to some extent, in 5 years, yes, I believe we should be well on our way to 2,000 more affordable housing units. Yes, we should be well on our way of ensuring that we bring taxpayers and residents into the budgeting process through participatory budgeting. There's a number of specific initiatives that I feel will have seen come into fruition within 5 years. But the challenge we still face is that we are still a very disjointed city, that we are not unified, and the connective tissue that used to connect Omaha and connect neighborhoods around Omaha has slowly disintegrated. And part of that is a lack of a transportation system that allows people to move around the city. Part of that is a lack of investment in certain neighborhoods that have been left behind. And I think to some extent, the vision for the future in my mind is to try to address those issues in a very holistic way. One program, one initiative, one idea will not solve all of these complicated generational issues. But to some extent, unifying the city behind a bigger vision, an aspirational city that we would like to see Omaha become, not just in the next 5 years, but the next 20 years, is going to allow us to be able to continue to provide great educational opportunities, more, I would say, opportunities when it comes to diverse housing options, be able to allow people to choose their career path, whatever that may be, but more importantly, to allow people to chase their hopes and dreams, no matter if they live in North Omaha, South Omaha, Elkhorn, or Millard. And that's something right now that I'm convinced we have to be able to tackle first and foremost as a city, and it starts with acknowledging some very significant economic and racial challenges we face as a city.
Ian McHale.
Well, it's an interesting question. I was studying the history of the Omaha area, and what I discovered was that in the late 1800s, Omaha made a name for itself being the center of or the headquarters of two large railroads. One of them is still here. Another one moved. And the reason why it was a big deal was because they ended up building or connecting the railroad from Omaha all the way to California. And so that's what they said they did when they connected the West. But in reality, they didn't really connect the West because there still wasn't a bridge that went across the Missouri River. And so what happened was is that 2 years after that, Kansas City was the first city to actually build a bridge that connected for the first time the East Coast to the West Coast. And 2 years later, we built one to Council Bluffs, but it was too late. And so we were behind on that innovation. We were behind on seeing the bigger picture. And that can no longer be. And that's one reason that Kansas City has grown larger and quicker than Omaha has. And so what we're going to focus on is making the city a place that's no longer flyover country, a place that is an international destination. And how we're going to do that is we're going to focus on human capital. And so we're going to ensure that we have the highest educated people in the world. We're going to benchmark our educational system against not only other places. Currently, according to the U.S. News and World Report, we are ranked as a state 50th out of 51 states as far as our high schools. And so we're going to create a Cinderella story. We're going to completely turn our educational system around. And we're going to benchmark on the best educational systems, such as a Singapore, a Hong Kong, a Finland, a South Korea, et cetera. And we're also going to create a city that is diversified, diversified in the commercial drone industry. Currently, the commercial drone industry is projected over the next couple of years to be a $127 billion industry. There are 100,000 jobs that are projected to be created in the next decade. Those jobs are paying, on average, $150 an hour. And I know that because I'm actually a certified FAA drone pilot, and I actually teach individuals and certify them to get trained and also show them how to fly drones as well. And so we're going to not wait. We're going to make sure that we are the center of the world for the commercial drone industry. Also, we're going to make sure that through our green plan that we have a healthy population, because we can't have one of the world's best human capital pools if they're not healthy. And one of the ways that we're going to do that, we're going to fix our water. We have one of the worst water qualities in the country. I believe it's sixth or seventh as far as the latest report that was done. And also, we're going to make sure that our city is a safe city. And like we talked about, we're going to make it safe because we're going to make our police officers, we're going to work with them and make sure that they are patrolling their own areas, areas that they know well, where they're familiar with the community. When they walk up on a young man that may be getting in some trouble, that person is going to know them. They're going to have a pre-existing relationship. If there's a domestic dispute, that officer is going to know that family. They're going to know the pre-existing history of that family. And if they see a young person backsliding, they can be preventative instead of being reactionary and potentially ruin the young person's life. And so, thank you.
Mayor Stothert.
We started 4 years ago with a vision to make Omaha safer, to make city government work better for you, and to grow our economy. So have we done that? I believe we have. With homicides at a 13-year low, the first property tax levy cuts in 14 years, and 12,000 more jobs in Omaha, people believe that we are on the right track. And people are investing in Omaha, and I believe they're investing in Omaha because they trust the leadership. Since I've been mayor, we have issued over 53,000 building permits at a value of $2.7 billion. Things are happening in Omaha. And also, as far as our master plan, which was mentioned several times, our city master plan is updated and amended frequently, and it has been for years, just to update it and to serve the current needs of the community. But in the months ahead, of course, we will continue our relentless focus on the fundamentals. The goals and the vision that we are working on now for the future, they come from all of you. It depends on the citizens and what your goals and your issues are, too. My focus will be on a more inclusive Omaha, greater neighborhood support, innovative transportation systems, and job training and support. Right now, the city of Omaha invests $440,000 a year in Heartland Workforce Solutions, that one-stop shop to help people get the training they need for the jobs that are there in this community right now. We also invest on reentry programs, helping those coming out of prison get the workforce skills they need for the jobs that are out there and to become independent and citizens in our community. And we're working with our partners right now, with our business and philanthropic partners, to develop a more vibrant downtown and to redevelop what our riverfront is, which I hope in the future will be Omaha's new signature. And our top priority will continue to be an intense focus on public safety to keep your family, your neighborhood, and our entire city safe.
How will you invite industry into the eastern edges of the city to provide employment, a living wage, and hope to our urban centers? Ian McHale.
All right. Well, being an IBM global entrepreneur, also having worked as a essentially worked with Google, also having worked with Intel, a number of other industries, we have a lot of connections that we would be able to leverage. Also sitting on the Leadership and Technology Council, the National Small Business Association, we understand what the priorities of necessarily the business community and what those priorities are. Also, by creating a light rail system and attracting talent from UNL, that would be a big pull. I think for some employers to have ready access to the university and all that the university offers, instead of just having access to Metropolitan Community College, which currently has a 12% graduation rate. Also, UNO in Creighton. And so we would expand that tremendously and be able to offer something to our employers that no other city is offering in the region. Also, by focusing on the commercial drone industry, we are proposing to create the world's fastest drone racing course on the riverfront. And one thing that may be more attractive than the Olympic swim trials is taking your kid on the weekend to watch a drone racing tournament. And so we know that that industry is something that is propelling, and we want to be at the forefront of that. We don't want to be behind. Last year, Dubai held the world's first drone Grand Prix for a $1 million prize, and it was a 15-year-old kid that won. So that could have been any of your kids out there. And so we're going to provide that opportunity for our young people, and who's not going to come to a city like that? Also, what we're going to do is we're going to utilize our commercial drone industry here to attract the next College World Series of drone racing, because it's going to be at the collegiate level. And if we know that, we can get ahead of that. If we know that drone racing is going to be an Olympic sport, then we can get ahead of that. And we can be able to attract a lot of events in order to attract people also globally, because they're going to want to come here in order to participate and utilize the facilities that we have built.
Mayor Stothert.
Thank you. Well, first of all, we have strong partnerships with the Greater Omaha Economic Development Corporation, the Omaha Economic Development Partnership, the Omaha Economic Development Corporation, that's OEDC, and the Midlands Latino Community Development Corporation, to identify opportunities for the whole city, but specifically for the eastern portion of our city. Some industry requires large tracts of land, and this requires us to be a lot more strategic and thoughtful with land acquisition and development. The link between new business and business expansion, however, has to be transportation, and an improved transit system will help move people from their homes to their jobs and back home again. Every year, I have increased funding for job training and placement programs. As I mentioned before, our biggest commitments are to Heartland Workforce Solutions. When I became mayor, we are giving them funding them with $20,000 a year. We're up to $440,000 a year. And also the Step Up Summer Jobs program that I mentioned before. But we're giving $500,000 a year to that program, and we are going to increase that in 18 to $1 million a year. And the other training programs that we fund as far as the reentry programs, which I mentioned a while ago, too. The city was the first partner also with the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce program, the new REACH program. And the focus of that program is to help small businesses and business owners succeed. So there's been a lot of investment as far as workforce development, job training, and hopefully that will lead to more good-paying jobs within our city.
Heath Mello.
You know, I believe that there's a number of key opportunities that are available for us as a city in regards to providing more economic opportunities in the eastern side of Omaha. And I think part of that involves, one, what we do with our existing land and infrastructure, and the second, simply dealing with our entrepreneurial ecosystem, and the third, dealing with workforce readiness. And the first, that's why I called or recalled the city to ask them to start to rebuild the process again to create a North Omaha Industrial Park, to help bring more industrial development, jobs, and activity in the north side of our city. I felt that to some extent the city gave up on that idea too quickly, particularly in light of us being able to find money to buy buildings in downtown Omaha, but we didn't have enough funding at the time to be able to fund an industrial development park in the north side of the city. I I think to some extent, I've been able to do budgets at the state level, and I know it really just comes down to a matter of priorities of what you value more than anything else. The second component is something Ian also mentioned, which is really, I think, the driving factor in the eastern side of the city, which is building an entrepreneurial ecosystem. I believe that we as a city right now have some great organizations, both in the north and the south side of Omaha, who are working with small businesses every single day. But what I proposed was creating an economic gardening collaborative that brings all of these organizations together to work under one umbrella, to focus on providing small businesses and entrepreneurs the strategic services they need, aside from that technical assistance they get every single day. Not just funding, but more so some of the competitive intelligence that small businesses need in regards to identifying future growth of their companies. That, more than anything else, is going to allow an existing small business owner now, who may have an idea to expand somewhere in 5 years, to speed that process up within the next first 1 or 2 years, depending upon their financing and their ability to be able to provide future growth patterns for customers, supply chains, and other online marketing opportunities that small businesses have a challenge with simply because of their size. The third component, as I mentioned, deals with workforce readiness. This is something that has impacted the eastern side of the city for years. But something that I've really tried to focus on is what, in talking with some businesses, particularly manufacturing businesses, is a lack of existing workforce where they've got vacant jobs. And that's why I called on creating the Mayor's Manufacturing Partnership, as I call it, where we would focus exclusively working with local manufacturers to ensure their workforce needs are being met, jobs are being filled. But in that same process, helping those manufacturers look to expand their reach by looking for future export markets for them to continue to grow and expand job opportunities across the city, particularly in the eastern side of Omaha. And as the mayor did mention, I fundamentally believe that transportation has the ability to change the future of this entire city. But I'm convinced that is something that we have to build from, and part of that is going to be our future growth patterns as a city. And I think having a city that focuses on inward growth, of trying to find ways to build more density inside the I-680 corridor, is going to help us be able to see this transportation reality in a much quicker light instead of that 20 to 30 year vision we talked about earlier.
Many people who move to Omaha look at how the schools rank. Due to the socioeconomic makeup of OPS, some of our schools look as if they're not performing as well as some of our suburban counterparts. None of the suburban schools have the number of new immigrants our metro schools do, which impact testing due to language barriers. Is there any way that you, as our mayor, can help make our metro schools look as amazing as they truly are? Mayor Stothert.
Well, right now I'm the only candidate running for re-election now, but running for mayor, that has experience on a local school board. I was a member of the Millard Board of Education for 11 years. I served as 3 years as president of that board. And I understand our public school systems. Since I have become mayor, although the mayor has no jurisdiction over the public school system because they have their own elected board, I feel like it's very important that I have a better relationship with those who do run the public schools. And so I created an advisory of superintendents and principals from the public schools when I first became mayor. I meet with them frequently to see how the city can better partner with the schools and the school districts and what we could do to work together better. I also have a student advisory. And this has become very popular. I started out, I created it with an executive order, and we limited it to 60 students the first year, and we had 80 apply. The second year, we had 120 students, and these are from all the local high schools around the city. And we meet with them, and we teach them about city government, and then we give them a project to work on so they understand. Last year, they developed a portion downtown. They designed a downtown area. So we want to get the students really involved in the school, too. I will say this is that our suburban school districts are becoming more and more diverse all the time as the city continues to grow. I think the city has a role with the schools as they plan for their future growth and expansion, as we see currently with District 66 and OPS and Elkhorn also. We do have Omaha police officers that are working within our schools as resource officers. But policy and curriculum decisions must be made by the elected school board members. And that's why the schools voted, or that's why they were elected to do that. So the city will continue. We have been a great partner over the last 3.5 years, and we will continue to do that.
Heath Mello.
I just finished up my 8th and final year in the Nebraska legislature, working on education policy, education funding, working with collective bargaining issues involving our teachers and our administrators. And the one thing I took from that time in the legislature is that partnerships need to be stronger. Partnerships need to be stronger at the local level, they need to be stronger at the state level, they need to be stronger at the federal level. And I can tell you, obviously, living in the south side of Omaha, we have some very unique demographics that impact our public schools. And we see that every single day in regards to challenges with parental engagement, in regards to students and parents being able to communicate with administrators, with teachers, and to some extent, the ability for truly, I think, a community approach to helping our children learn outside of that time the school bell rings. And that's why I'm proud to be the only candidate on the stage that received the sole unanimous endorsement from the Omaha Education Association. Because while I wasn't on a school board, I did spend 8 years working hand-in-hand with teachers, trying to improve classrooms, trying to improve curriculum, trying to ensure that our public schools had as much funding as possible to ensure that they were able to change and shape young minds for generations to come. I also announced that we would create a formal Mayor's Education Council. In speaking with superintendents and administrators and school board members around Omaha, they feel there can be a much stronger relationship right now with the mayor's office and City Hall on a number of issues. Everything from expanding access to early child education, expanding access to after-school programs, trying to address truancy, as well as what we know are some significant challenges, particularly behavioral health challenges with students at some of our key schools in OPS. But there's a better opportunity, there's more opportunity for us to be able to truly change that relationship moving forward. But I think it goes both ways. It's not just the city coming forward of saying this is what we'd like to do. It's truly trying to engage the education community on a day in, day out basis, knowing that they have such an important role impacting the future workforce of this city, the future entrepreneurs of this city, and to some extent, the future population growth of this city. Because the last thing I'll leave you with is a challenge we have not talked about tonight is Omaha's greatest export right now are our young people, that they are graduating high school in Omaha and moving away, and for the most part, not coming back. If we don't start to figure out a solution to that as a city, we will continue to lose our best and brightest, the best potential we have in the future to other major cities around Omaha because we weren't able to bring enough people together to find a way forward to solve this big generational challenge.
Ian McHale.
All right, so the first thing I would do is promote OPS not changing their grading system so often. Within the last decade, they've changed their grading system about 6 different times, and so we don't know if our kids got an A or a B or a C or a D. And so that's the first thing. Second, I would also promote and urge the Board of Education to select a superintendent that's actually from Nebraska, maybe push someone up out that's actually in the system, that knows the system, instead of always going outside of the state and finding someone that doesn't have a relationship with the community. And so that's one thing. I've also written curriculum from early childhood development all the way through workforce development. My early childhood curriculum, both of them, one featuring drone technology, has been approved by the Nebraska Department of Education. Also, for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been training. I've been training personally early childhood providers, and so I've listened to them. I've created a curriculum taking into consideration what it is that they said was true. And our curriculum, you know, as a result, has been something that I'm actually proud of as a result of that. In addition to that, I've personally worked in schools in 13 different cities around the country. Also, as a grant reviewer for the U.S. Department of Education, I've helped to award over $500 million since 2012 in areas such as TRIO programs, the I-3 Investing in Innovation competition as well. Also, working in the school system personally with the Urban League of Nebraska. While there, I authored their entire youth and education college curriculum, and I took the organization from a 2.5 stars on their national assessment to a perfect 5 stars within the 1 year that I actually worked there. In addition to that, we're going to also focus on behavior. We're going to make sure that the kids meditate. I've seen in the schools, for example, I was at Northwest, and there was a woman who was shadowing me during her master's program at UNO, and she cried while she sat next to me because she saw 3 fights within 45 minutes at Northwest. And so we need to focus on character education. In the Nebraska Constitution, it requires that teachers implement character education in the classrooms. and it's a misdemeanor if they do not. And currently, that is not being implemented. I don't agree with 595, allowing teachers to put their hands on children without parents having any due recourse as well. And so I think that there are other things that can be done besides going to that particular extent. And I think non-cognitive development, also focusing on, instead of just grades, test scores, and IQ, memorization, regurgitation, focusing on things like persistence and resiliency. Also focusing on creativity, how to build things and make things, instead of just how to take an exam. And I think that's what we need to focus on. That's what made us great as a nation and brought us to this extent. And I think that that's what's going to take us into the 21st century. Thank you.
All Community Development Block grant funds, CDBG activities, must benefit low and moderate income persons or aid in the prevention or elimination of slums or blight, or address other community development needs that present a serious and immediate threat to the health or welfare of the community. What are your thoughts on sharing detailed information on the allocation of CDBG funds with individuals directly impacted and residing in low socioeconomic areas? If you agree information should be shared, what steps will you take to ensure the information is accessible to individuals having the most need and little to no internet access? Heath Mello.
I would say yes. I think the city can be doing a much better job of collecting data, sharing data, producing data in more open formats, not just when it involves CDBG funds, but a number of other data sets. And I think to some extent proactively then start to engage residents in regards to what that data actually tells us, to then go through a process of explaining what this data is and explaining of the outcomes that we're seeing when we make an allocation of CDBG funds to a nonprofit organization, to a project, or to a separate entity or initiative. I think that's long overdue. I think to some extent what we don't always talk about or don't always see is once a decision is made with funding, we don't only go back and say what happens with that funding after it's been given out, to be able to really take more of an evidence-based approach in regards to what we see with our federal dollars. I would say the challenge we face, though, is that a lot of the residents of Omaha that CDBG money is supposed to be improving their potential outcomes or potential opportunities in their neighborhood won't always have access because of a digital divide that exists in Omaha for them to be able to download this report or download this data to be able to analyze, which requires the city to be able to go be more proactive in its engagement processes of connecting this information to residents across Omaha. Besides putting this data at community centers, at libraries, and all city buildings, I've made it a very poignant goal of a Mello administration, which is to have our city departments create the first ever civic engagement plan, to be able to proactively go out and say, this is how we're going to engage all aspects of our city with every single thing we do in our department. And releasing data and explaining this data is a very small component of what we could be doing with a citywide civic engagement plan. I think that really is the future of our city, is the ability for our public leadership to make this information and data as widely accessible as possible in as many formats as possible, but more so take the information out and truly engage people in a conversation and a dialogue, which is something I feel we're just not seeing enough of right now.
Ian McHale.
All right, so as a federal grant writer and a reviewer, you know, I've been looking for years for that community block grant. And so let me know if you find it. But as far as other funding sources that I think I would make available or push for, CRA. So the Community Reinvestment Act, it requires banking institutions to give out low-interest loans to low- and moderate-income communities. I've interviewed CEOs here locally in the banking community, and I'd say 90% of them didn't know what the Community Reinvestment Act was. And so we're going to push and encourage banking institutions to be able to open up the floodgates so that your average people have access to capital so that they can create jobs and be able to reinvigorate the community. Also, we're proposing to create the Citizens Investment Fund. And what the investment fund would do, it would minimally give out $100,000 annually in order to be able to provide financing for ideas that citizens of Omaha and residents, ideas that they have that can either save the city money or that can create new streams of revenue. And so when we talk about investing, for example, as an entrepreneur, I know that we have reverse pitch competitions. So you have corporations that come and essentially they bring an idea and then the entrepreneurs go chew on it for 2 weeks and they come back and then pitch it. And we're giving out like $2,000. Like, what is that going to do for an entrepreneur? Right. It's just going to tickle them. So we need to actually give them real revenue and not just give them a little bit in order to, you know, we can't just give them scraps. We have to treat them right. Otherwise, they're going to go to other cities that are offering bigger dollars and bigger rewards for the risk that you have to take as an entrepreneur. On top of that, we're also going to focus on social impact bonds. As an individual that's created and invented a social impact bond model where I had to go in front of the Security and Exchange Commission in Washington, D.C. And successfully presented that model, what we're going to do is we're going to pay for success. So instead of the city just spending money on initiatives and then you don't know what the return on that initiative is, we're going to say, you know what? You guys who make those investments all the time because 90% of startups fail, you go do that. And then we're only going to pay for it unless it works and if it saves the city more money than we spent. And so it's a smart way, a fiscally responsible way in order to take care of the funds that we do have in order to maximize those funds as well. Also, there's communities such as North Omaha, where you have about 50,000 blacks that on average making $20,000 each. And when you add that, that's $1 billion flowing out of North Omaha, $1 billion. And so how do we take that $1 billion and how do we recycle that and create incentives for people to buy locally, to create locally, and to stay within their communities and to not go other places? And so those are the type of things that need to happen in order to make sure that we create a robust community. And the last thing that I'll say is that we need people to know more about federal grants. We have for-profit institutions that are applicable, that can apply for federal grants, and they don't know about that. So federal grants is also another big thing.
Mayor Stothard.
Each year, the city of Omaha receives approximately $6.5 million of federal entitlement funds. Of this, about $4.4 million is CDBG money. And most of our CDBG money is used to revitalize our most distressed neighborhoods. We spend most of our CDBG funds on quality, safe, and affordable housing. Approximately 79% of the funds in Omaha, the CDBG money, are spent in North Omaha. 79% are in North Omaha, about 20% in South Omaha, and less than 1% west of 72nd Street. The process we use is very transparent. Each year, there are numerous public meetings to get citizen input before the action plans are developed. Those plans, for the last 10 years, are on the planning department's website. In fact, I brought tonight the plan, the action plan for 2017. And this is it. It's quite a big plan, and it had a lot of public input on developing it. Your questions about access, though, to those with little or no access to the internet is a very good one. I'm going to leave this copy here tonight for One Omaha. We will put them in the city libraries, community centers, and we will also give copies to our neighborhood alliances. But again, these are public records and they're public documents. And like all public documents, anyone at any time can request and receive the copies by contacting our city clerk. And another thing I really want to stress is transparency has been one of the hallmarks of my administration. When I first became mayor, we revised and redesigned my entire website. And over the past 3.5 years, we have gone through every single city department. And we just launched the final page about a month ago, which is the city's homepage. And I would be willing to bet any information you want, from the city budget to our strategic plan, to the city's checkbook, which will go live probably by next week, something we've been working on since November of 2015, both the county and the city will have our checkbook online so anybody can see, like on the city's finance page, you can click county or city, and you'll be able to see the city's checkbook or the county's, and if you go to the county's page, you could do the same. You could click on and see the city's or the counties. But our administration believes in full transparency, and I do believe this CDBG process that we have used with all the community input and the community participation that we have had and being posted on the website has been very, very transparent, and we value that very greatly.
Okay, can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On behalf of One Omaha, I'd like to thank all three of our mayoral candidates for participating tonight. If we could just give a round of applause.
You've been listening to a special program from the University of Nebraska at Omaha on Noon Forum. We've heard a community conversation with three of the five candidates vying for the office of mayor of the city of Omaha in the primary election this Tuesday, April 4th. The candidates taking part were Omaha Mayor Jean Stothert, seeking her second term in office, Heath Mello, a member of the Nebraska Unicameral, and Ian McHale, founder of the Infinite Eight Institute. Two candidates, Christopher Gary and Taylor Royal, due to previous commitments, were unable to participate. Our moderator has been Cheryl Lee, news director of KIOS-FM, Omaha Public Radio. This program, co-sponsored by One Omaha, was recorded on Tuesday evening, March 14, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Cleet Baker of Studio B for providing the recording of this evening's program. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Be sure and go to the polls this Tuesday, April 4th, and vote for your choice for Omaha mayor. The top two vote-getters will advance to the general election on Tuesday, May 9th. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.